How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. We've got a loaded show for you. We're excited about it. Joe Rexroad will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll get into a lot of local issues with him. David Poyle, his weekly chat with us in the second hour. That's coming up at 11:15, Predators general manager. Dick Vermeil, we'll check in with him. Linda Cohn, we got a lot of things on our plate today. Darren McFarland, that's me. Willie Donick.
Good morning.
It's him. Chase McCabe.
Hello.
That's him. And right now, we've got Marquise Munson doing a little extra duties.
Keith. Waving. What's up?
What's up, guys?
Where is Elijah? What's happening? Nobody knows?
We know. He's just he's having car trouble.
Oh, no good.
So you're stuck with me.
Boo, no. Car. Yeah. Cars are great until they break down.
Yep.
It's like everything else, right? Electronics. It's all great till it breaks down.
Absolutely. On the side of the road, too. That sucks.
That, no good. No bueno. Well, Marquise, thanks for doing this.
Of course, guys. Anything for you fellas, man.
Well, thanks.
That's why he's the best.
And thanks to you, Willie, for letting us know that there was a tennis match last night, so I stayed up half the night watching it. So thanks for that.
Man.
Or
that
not.
Was something I know. I kept thinking.
Roger Federer, good. Good at tennis.
So we were all trying to figure out when Tennis Sandgren, who is from Gallatin, when his match was going to be. All day we were trying, when is he playing? Because they're in Australia, so we understand it's completely different time zone, and things are the opposite. And I was like, at some point today, they're going to play. Well, I still didn't know. And as we've, it's well documented on the show, you get home from Predators home games especially, it's hard to sleep. And so you texted us and said, hey, the Sandgren match is on. So the next thing you know, Chase, you admitted you fell asleep. Willie, I guess you said you were falling asleep and coming in and out. I actually watched it till the end.
I watched it all the way through the fourth set and then into the fifth set and then dozed off and woke back up like, what happened? What happened? And it was over. But, you know, I do think you're rewarded if you happen to see that match. And if you didn't, it was a classic example of a great champion fighting until the end and not ever conceding. You know, and all the talk we had about Kobe Bryant, the sadness of it, but what, you know, we discussed what makes a great player one of the all-time greats. The gene that Kobe Bryant had is the same gene that Roger Federer had. You know, he's just not going to give you the match. He's just not going to. He was hurting.
Mamba mentality.
Yeah, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's been defined different things, been called different things. But, yeah, whatever you want to call it, he's got it. 7 match points this kid had from a kid who grew up in Gallatin. He's not a kid. He's been a pro for a good while now. But he had a chance to get to his first semifinal of a major. He's playing a great match. He's got a great opportunity because Federer has got something bothering him. He didn't know what. He had to take an injury timeout. He took as much time as he could. So this guy is ahead. 2-1. And he's got a beat on the last set. And he had 7 match points in the fourth set, including in the tiebreaker, up 6-3. Yeah. 3 consecutive match points. Just needs 1 of the 3.
Federer
just kept rising up.
Jim Courier, who we've met. Remember when Belmont hosted the test? We've met.
Yeah.
He's great. If you listen to his commentary after he – look, you can call it what you want. He choked it away. I mean, he just – he had –
well,
you had Federer. You have Federer on the ropes, and he's going left, right, left, right, left, right, and his knees were buckling, and you couldn't knock him out. And that's a big mistake. You better knock him out when you can. And Courier said when he came back and actually won 7-6 in the fourth set. He's like, Courier's like, uh-oh, this is where
that's exactly right.
This is where Roger Federer will. You had your chance, yep. Young man. You had your chance.
No question.
Now watch out, because this is where the greats take over. And this, in fact, his words were, "This could be a pretty fast set." And I was like, "What?" Like, they just, what? It's 15 love. They just started the fifth set, and Jim Courier's like, "Yeah, this will probably be a pretty quick set."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Wow!" And sure enough.
Well, in McEnroe, I think it was McEnroe that said, you know, the thing that you have to watch out for is looking too far ahead. If you're Sandgren, you know, starting to celebrate in your mind a little bit. And I think some of that started to happen as Federer was, well, you know, whatever he went and took, I think started to kick in as it went on. And you saw him, even though he wasn't maybe at his best, you saw him turn it on. And, you know, the wily veteran. Now he's got to face Djokovic again in the semifinal.
Wow.
But
what is the great thing about tennis,
too? What was the aces? What was the count on aces? Oh. It was like, what, 30 to 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Sandgren, 30. Federer, 5.
Yeah.
And he lost.
But also it reminds you of what makes tennis great. What's unique about tennis? You cannot run the clock out. You can't sit on the lead. You have to keep winning points. You could theoretically be down 6-0, 6-0, 5-0, love 40, and you're still in the match. It can turn. And Federer, you know, he was on the last legs. He was hanging by a thread and just hanging on and just staying alive. And then I sensed it too. Jim Courier is right on it. Like, oh boy, he missed the chance.
Well, I didn't. Of course, you go, oh, boy, wow, did you really blow that one? Like, you had 7 match points. Just think about it. 7 match points. The great, you know, some will argue the greatest of all time. You got him down and out, and you didn't win. And I'm thinking, okay, oh, boy. But for Jim Courier just to come out and say that before the fifth set, as the fifth set is starting, like, yeah, oh, boy, young man, you had your chance. Sorry. This will probably be pretty quick. Watch.
Yep.
And it allowed us to get to sleep, I guess, before 3 a.m.
before the next match started.
Oh, it was over before that.
Yeah, it was. It
was a little bit after. It was probably – I watched it to the end. I watched a little bit of the – I watched Courier interview Federer on the court. By the way, Federer, how great is he? I mean, of course, he's from Switzerland. They're all, I mean, duh.
I laughed,
though. A Swiss who's a great guy to deal with, you know, shocking or not.
Do we know one of those?
Yeah, we do. By the way.
They both have great hair,
something
too.
We didn't bring up yesterday, just to kind of let you in on, and most people already know this, but what kind of person the captain, Roman Josi, is. He was the lone representative for the Predators in the All-Star game in St. Louis. So he went and did all that this weekend. And was back here on Sunday and at an event at Bridgestone Arena for Best Buddies Sunday night. That's the kind of person that Roman Josi is. It would have been real easy for any athlete to check out on that event and say, man, I love you guys, but, you know. And they had practice.
Yeah.
He did all weekend All-Star festivities, came back. They had a practice at Fordyce in Bellevue, and that night at Bridgestone Arena, he's at a Best Buddies event on the floor of Bridgestone Arena doing that on Sunday night. And, oh, by the way, they had a game last night. That tells you what kind of person Roman Josi is.
And I think they practiced on Sunday, didn't they?
Yeah, that was Fordyce,
I just said that.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Is there an echo in the room?
No,
It happens, but
it happens.
It happens. It happens.
Well, is Willie, has that ever been said to you?
It has. Yes, it has.
I was I was ready to jump in and say they had a practice, and I was determined that that's what I was going to say, and I said it anyway.
I've been there.
It was one of those.
I got the T-shirt.
Look, there's things that you do. We can call you out on.
If Amish, you were way ahead of the curve, you could have had one of those special shirts.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah, we have. Times. We have. We used to work with somebody that used to love to call people out.
Oh, yes.
Love to call people out for that. All right, we will come back. Joe Rexroth from The Athletic. We will talk to him all things local on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday morning, we say hello and good morning to Joe Rexroth from The Athletic. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Joe, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. We saw you yesterday morning down in the locker room after skate. Adam Vinken told me last night you've got some big article coming out that we need to check out on The Athletic. So tell us, what do you got cooking?
Well, gosh, I think Adam might be overselling it a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I'm writing a column about the Predators, which, you know, at this point, you know, not a lot of fun topics with this team right now. But I do have the idea, and this is sort of based on conversations, you know, with fans. I think there are a lot of things you can point to with this team right now. But one thing that I see some people pointing out, which I really find misguided, is like the idea that this is like Roman Josi's fault or that he shouldn't be the captain because of this. So
what? Where are you seeing that? What?
Oh, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. This is his fault, huh?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is – I think that's somewhat – I mean, I think the idea of, like, leadership or, you know, intangibles, I mean, I think that's fair. And I think I've seen this before, you know, with teams, and, you know, it's like, what's the captain doing? Isn't the captain supposed to be doing something? I mean, to me, the captain, number one, has to set a tone with his daily approach and his performance. And I would say Roman Josi's been great. I mean, you know, Roman Josi has been, I think he's been fantastic. And I actually got to talk to him a little bit alone last night. And, you know, he's super frustrated with this. I mean, he's trying different things to try to get things going. But ultimately, and this is kind of the point of it, I mean, you know, a captain can do so much. He's holding up his end. A lot of other individuals are not right now. And I think, you know, people should not miss that.
Well, I'm glad you said good word, misguided. I mean, I luckily have not seen that. I think that's absurd. I mean, I get it. People want to point fingers, and I understand when things aren't good, but that should be, you know, 59 should not be, anything should not be directed his way. I mean, he's doing his part. So if I just asked you, what do you see as this team has now completed 48 games, what do you see as maybe the biggest problem in your mind?
Well, I think the biggest problem is, for whatever reason, there's this collective letdown that happens. And now, and honestly, I think this team is a better road team right now. I mean, I think it is certainly lately. And I think it's almost like in the building now, when something goes wrong, you can feel the sag everywhere. You know, and again, I'm not blaming the fans for that at all, but I think they just have an expectation now that, you know, it's not going to go well. And I mean, look, Rocco Grimaldi last home loss kind of went off on this, like, you know, we can't react this way. When the other team scores, we can't just, you know, like, let it affect us to that extent. I'm paraphrasing him.
Right, he was talking about that it was basically, like, once again, paraphrasing, lifeless on the bench when they get down a goal or two.
So it's like last night, I thought they played well in the first period. You make a couple mistakes, you're down 2-1, but you're fine. And then you come with what they came with in the second period, you know? And it's hard to watch. I mean, it really is. Like, this team is hard to watch. And that's what's I'm kind of getting to this, too. It's like, just look at some of these guys. Think back to what some of these guys used to do. Like how Johansson, what he did in that 2017 run before he got knocked out. You know, what Forsberg has done in some of these playoff runs, just absolutely, like, at times, like, that's the best player on the ice, you know. Just the grit. This was an inspiring team, and it's not now. And it's not fair to some guys, because I'm looking out there and I'm seeing Nick Bonino and Craig Smith and Rocco Grimaldi. I'm seeing those guys doing all they can do, but there's just a collective disconnect right now. And So I think if you want to, you know, dissect it, just some individuals simply have to play better. And obviously John Hines has already targeted Ryan Johansson. It's early in John Hines' tenure here, but already he is seeing, I mean, there's no question on things he said last night and the fact that Johansson played 10, you know, had 10 minutes and change of ice time, that, you know, that's a guy certainly who needs to respond here.
10.5 minutes, and I think took 3 draws. Usually, Johansson's taking about 17 faceoffs a night. He had 3 last night in 10.5 minutes of ice time. So, as they're about to close the book on month number 4, Thursday night in New Jersey will be game 50, and that'll do it for January. Do you think they can turn this around? Where do you think this is going?
I still do. It's funny because you also compare this. I mean, let's compare their situation right now. I know they're in last place, but, you know, I mean, they are a good couple weeks from being right in the playoffs again. Compare their situation right now to, like, the Titans in October, you know, 2-4 and toast, you know, with no reason to think that they would find any offense this year. I mean, that you know, compare that to this. I think it's a much rosier picture here. It's not rosy right now, especially after a game like that, but I still do think they can pull out of this. I still think they do have a lot of talent. I know it doesn't always look that way, but there are guys whose track records are undeniable, some elsewhere, some here, who simply have to produce and play better. So, yeah, in fact, last night I made a bet in the media room that they would make the playoffs. One beer. I got a beer on the line. Yeah, there you go. And it's like laughable to some people now that they might make the buzz. I'm like, I just, you know, it's ebbs and flows of the season. And maybe it's just, this is just what it's going to be. And maybe by the trading deadline, it'll be obvious they have to sell. And, you know, it's just headed that way. But maybe I'm being too optimistic. I still think that there's a chance for them to get it turned around. And, you know, this is going to be really telling, too, of, you know, John Hines and what buttons he can push to try to get it going.
Is this micro? Is this domestic? What's on the line? This whatever?
Oh. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, that's a good, you know what? You know,
Kraft probably would have been a better
Kraft way. Kraft is a better way of putting it.
If I win, it will be, it'll be like exotic Kraft.
Oh, exotic Kraft.
Did
Mike Mularkey make up that name, Exotic Kraft?
I knew you were going to go there. So predictable.
Yeah, I like it. But, yeah, if I lose, it'll be like PBR.
PBR.
Nice.
Some people like PBR.
No,
it's still
mind.
Kicking.
Right. It's kind of trendy now.
Well, Joe, meanwhile, you've got the off-season beginning, and it's always – you know, it's so sad almost, you know, within hours after the AFC Championship game ended for the Titans, you start thinking about, well, what do they do with all these guys? What moves are they going to make? But that is, I guess, the nature of the business here. So first and foremost, we've been posing it to almost everybody who covers the Titans. What do you think the percentage chances that Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback back next year?
Excuse me. Percentage chance he's the quarterback next year. I will say 92%.
I think that's sort of falling into line to where we're going. Darren, where are you on that, by the way? You've been sort of the holdout. Chase has gone up towards that number, don't you think, Chase?
Yeah.
You weren't that way a week ago.
And I admitted yesterday
now you're
that I
getting
was kind of
with all the things that we've learned about this, where are you at now, Darren? Do you want to bet Joe a beer?
82%.
82. Where were you last week?
72.
I'm at 90.
But Joe, is that the vibe you're getting, though, that they just want to keep it moving in the direction that it's moving? Or do you think there is some intrigue at just taking a look at a guy like Brady? This is the big thing. We don't even know if Brady would be available to look at.
Right. Now, we do know that, you know, there's probably informal conversations that take place between Tom Brady and members of the Titans organization, even whether it's about this or not, right? So I would say there's probably a good feel. But, yeah, you know, to me, it's just, I mean, it's really just my opinion. Like, I don't see how that 13 game sample isn't enough to be like, you gotta keep rolling with this guy. And I understand that it was well above his, you know, career numbers, but that was a different situation. And again, with Tannehill, the thing that people forget is he was actually building toward something, I think, really good in 2016 before blowing his knee. And then he really was never healthy again in Miami. Now, that could also scare you off, but he made it through last year, you know, looking durable and good. And I just, so to me, it's easy at 31 with what he just did with Arthur Smith in this system. It's an easy decision to me.
Now let's go to Derrick Henry. It's easy to say, well, if you can't make a deal, slap the franchise tag on him. And that might happen. I worry, though, that in some past times, and I realize everybody's different, but a lot of times when a guy plays with the franchise tag, it creates a feel, an environment that's just not comfortable for the player. There's some anxiety. Everybody's asking him about it. I really hope that they can find a way, especially because Derrick Henry has matured, grown up, become a leader, all of the intangible things to go with the numbers he's putting up. I would just would hate to have that cloud hanging over that he's playing with the franchise tag. Is he going to hold out? Is he going to practice? All of the questions that go with having that tag. Do you think that they can avoid that?
I think they can. That'll be really interesting, and I think they really want to. I think John Robinson is, you know, I think it goes along with everything he's trying to do in that work environment. You know, I think he'd love to avoid the tag in any situation. So, I agree. I mean, you know, different places. I mean, you look at like Washington, they were fine slapping the tag two times in a row on Kirk Cousins. Bruce Allen was fine doing that. You know, you look where they are now. But, you know, he handled it well, but it was still kind of a strange situation. And it's a looming storyline too, no matter what's happening with the team. I mean, there's a distraction element that comes with that as well. So, no, I think they can, and it's just going to be interesting. I think with Tannehill and Henry, you know, it's also like on their side of things. Do they see, you know, that they like where they are? They like their teammates. They want this to continue and work together. Is there any level of, okay, take a few bucks off here or there because of that? You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting. With that, Derrick Henry is, you can certainly sit on the other side of the table from him and say, two down back and look at all these long-term running back deals that haven't worked out and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, realistically, the guy won you two playoff games. He dominated two playoff games on the road, and you built everything around him, and he's the best guy running the football in the league. So, where does that all come down? Does it come down to like a Zeke kind of numbers? You know, it's going to be fascinating to see. But I do think, Willie, in the end, it will be a long-term deal to some extent and not a tag.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. So, I've been doing this lately, making the comparisons. You look at what David Poyle has done over the past few years, signing a lot of these guys to long-term contracts, and you know, at the time it looked like that was the way to go, but it also puts you in that, you know, salary cap situation where you're right up against it, so you can't do a whole lot of other things. I now look at the Titans that are kind of entering that, you know, that realm with trying to sign these guys, and can you keep the top four, as we say, Tannehill, Henry, Conklin, and Logan Ryan? I think it's going to be difficult. What do you think the balance is of trying to do that, trying to keep some continuity, but also leaving room to add the depth?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chase, and I don't know. I mean, I think you can make strong cases, and especially, again, talking about that locker room and how people fit into that locker room and how important that is to the whole picture. I think if you take that into account beyond what they're doing on the field, I think you really strengthen the cases for keeping both Logan Ryan and Jack Conklin. Doesn't mean that You will. They will have the money. The money is there for them to do all of that. But then, as you said, then you don't have a lot of wiggle room after that. How important is it to John Robinson to go out and get a pass rusher? You know, I mean, he got Cam Wake last year. Clearly, he needs more in that area. That's the glaring need. How important is it to have, you know, is there someone out there, and Ngakoue or somebody like that who he, you know, covets? And if so, then I think you probably have to be ready to part with one of those guys. I mean, Conklin, I think, had a really good year, his best year since his rookie year. And again, I think he and Logan Ryan both are really big parts of that locker room. You know, but that's still, I mean, a comparable deal is somewhere in the, you know, $15-16 million a year range for him. And Logan Ryan is getting up there. Logan Ryan in his role is excellent. Then when he had to play outside, when Michael Butler got hurt and that Dory was hurt and they had to move around and stuff, you could see, you know, he's not a guy who's going to go out there and run with fast receivers in the NFL. That's not his thing. He's an excellent all-around player, blitzer, you know, slot guy. And, again, locker room guy. But, you know, how much do you value that? So that's going to be interesting. I mean, I wrote this and I'll stick with it. I think that they should sign all those guys. I do, because I think they do have a special locker room. And I think that tilts it in their favor. But I won't be shocked if one of those two, Ryan or Conklin, is somewhere else next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if they could do all four, then they would. But it's going to cost a lot of money. I mean, you can make some cuts, because there are some veterans on this team that I think they could part ways with to clear up some room. But we'll see how it shakes out. Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about Tennis Sangren, the run that he had in the Australian Open. We started the show talking about it, of watching his match against Roger Federer last night. It looked like he had it in the bag, and then the old wily veteran Federer was able to come back and win it. Pretty cool story, though, with Tennis Sangren being from Gallatin.
Well, amazing. And, you know, he saved 8 match points, Federer did.
Seven, but who's counting?
It was a lot.
Oh, okay, 7. I'm sorry. Yeah. And unfortunately, like, I found out about this from tweets this morning. So I've got to go back. And I was driving home from, apparently it was like, obviously late night with the Australian Open, so I didn't get to see any of it. But yeah, that's too bad for him. You know, that's one of those like breakthrough moments. And I still think it's a, you know, hopefully for him, it's a confidence moment and it's an awareness moment of him, but still, you know, to be able to get that done and get to the semis, how big would that have been for his career?
Would have been awesome.
By the way, real quick, Joe, what's the deal with the new MLS stadium? What's going on? All I keep seeing is, costs are going up, and is this what's happening right now?
Yeah, it's actually a good question that I asked myself this week, and I gotta, you know, get on that a little bit. But clearly, you know, there's some setbacks and some unforeseen things, which, you know, is not uncommon in these things. I mean, you know, there's extreme examples like LA, for example, and what has gone on with that stadium. But, yeah, clearly not all has gone as planned, so gotta look into that more. But, you know, I don't know if I would say at this point it's like massive, you know, sound, you know, the alarms, but still not ideal.
Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this.
Yes, and I will see you tomorrow, sir, in person.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm in with you the next 2 days. You didn't know what I mean. This has got to be a huge revelation for you. You got to be so excited.
Oh, I didn't know.
We are excited.
Well, great. Thanks for breaking news.
Yeah, there you go. Breaking.
We're just hoping to make it to noon, Joe. Today, if we could just make it past, if we could make it to 2 o'clock today, that would be great. Then we'll look ahead to the rest of the week.
Hey, and I'm going to bring up what my percentage that I put on Jeremy Pruitt returning next season too, by the way.
Please do. Please do.
I can't believe you waited this long.
Darren, in the last few months, you've had a few.
How did you let me off the hook?
You've had a few that have come back to haunt you. Okay, it all started about a year ago when you said the Titans should tank to get Trevor Lawrence. That's where I think he went off the rails.
Really?
Since then, you've had a few more like that. You had the Jeremy Pruitt one.
But I was talking about this upcoming season.
And now, you know,
that was a year ago.
You kind of went down the road of Brady pretty heavy. You got all over Tim Hasselbeck about his 0%.
0%?
That could hurt you.
It could.
Hey, listen, you've always got Stillman takes to compare yourself against if you need help.
That's your safety valve, you're still nowhere in the same universe as Jared when going out on the limb.
The difference is I believe what I say. That's the difference. Joe, have a good one.
I see you guys.
Time to go to break.
Joe Rexroth from The Athletic. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So it looks like the Astros have found their guys.
Who's reporting this?
Well,
Chase,
MLB just sent a notification on the old telephone here. So the MLB app just put it out there. Ooh. Report Baker nearing deal to manage the Astros.
Hmm.
So Bob Nightingale put it out originally from USA Today.
Okay.
I don't see this anywhere.
But it's yet to be. Per Nightingale, Baker's contract is yet to be finalized. The club has not confirmed that it has offered Baker the position. So this is all sources.
We're getting it from somewhere.
Now that is a really interesting move because
I think it's the right move. And then the Red Sox should hire Showalter.
Well, we know how popular Dusty Baker is, right? He is a famously popular manager among his players. But he is from the old school, right? He was not one that embraced all of the analytics and all the people that tell you how to run your team from the offices upstairs. He didn't enjoy that part of it, right? It's not like he didn't adapt because he made it pretty well beyond that era, the Moneyball era. He survived a long time in that era. But it's not his favorite thing. And traditionally, who now is at the forefront of that stuff? The Astros. So that's an interesting mix. It's a huge departure. I don't see Dusty Baker like A.J. Hinch sitting there with a tablet in front of him, right? Looking at spin rates. That's not Dusty Baker.
You don't need all that. Like, this is a...
Well, there's some people that think you don't need all that, but that's the way the game has gone.
But for this season...
For better or worse.
What I'm saying for this season, you have three franchises... One inadvertently because of the guy they hired, the Mets. So we'll put them over here. But you have two franchises that stepped in it big time. They have screwed up big time, and now you gotta do the PR spin. Hiring managers like Dusty Baker and Buck Showalter, in my opinion, is the perfect way to do that because you're bringing in two well-respected guys.
Yeah,
and the only reason
I'm bringing up
Showalter because I know his name has been out there. He's talked to teams. If Baker's going to Houston, then it would make sense for Showalter to go to Boston. He knows the division. I mean, he's not that far removed from his time with the Orioles. So he knows that division, and those are two guys that can come in there. They can help fix the image. It doesn't have to be for long, maybe a couple years. And you know what? With the teams, with the talent that they have there, those two guys could get them back to the World Series. I mean – I think they're talented enough that you don't have to steal signs. So,
it's interesting. The trend in Major League Baseball hires has been the manager has less and less of the role.
Well, they're bringing guys out of the TV booth.
And it's not even that. It's just it's guys who will basically take the cue from all the analytics people. The general manager wants to control who plays against who. These are what our numbers tell us. This is who should be playing right field. It's not, hey, Skip, what does your gut tell you today? Should you pinch hit right here? What's your gut telling you? You know, it's all about the matchups, the numbers. What's your batting average against this pitcher? What's this left-hander's average against left-handed batters? All of that stuff. Processing that. And a lot of that's coming from upstairs. And they want to control that. The movie Moneyball, right? The portrayal of Art Howe. Is of a bumbling guy that's not listening to anybody. He's from the old school, and Billy Bean makes an idiot out of him. You know, that's how he portrays him. I'm sure Art Howe doesn't really appreciate that. But Art Howe won the manager of the year, and then they let him walk, right? They were like, we'll just get another guy to do what we want him to do. He didn't have anything to do with it. Art Howe took big money and went to the Mets, and the Mets stunk. Art Howe got paid, but that's how the manager has sort of evolved over time. Dusty Baker and Buck Showalter, they don't particularly enjoy, I'm sure, having somebody say, you know, this is how we're going to do it. Here's your lineup today.
You don't think they enjoy it? I could see that that meeting going real well.
Well, look, that's Lionel Hollins. What do you think ended that in
Memphis? Absolutely.
I mean, true. How have the Grizzlies been since Lionel Hollins left?
Well, until this year, not very good.
Not so good.
Until this year?
Yeah. I mean, well, they're obviously they got
so
young
this
talent.
Year's their first down year since Lionel Hollins?
No, I said until this year they're not very good.
I'm saying they're turning upwards. They're rebuilding finally. Yeah.
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They're in the playoffs right
okay.
now.
Okay. Yeah, they've been nothing but crap.
Yeah, that's what I that's
that,
what I was
that's,
saying.
That was the whole rub.
Right.
Well, that was a lot of it. Is, you know, he wanted to.
It definitely was the deal with Lionel Hollins. You know, he did not want to be told.
He wanted to be. Yeah, he didn't want analytics and he didn't want to be told by the book and by the numbers what to do. He wanted to do it his way.
They went through how many coaches?
I lost count. Yeah.
They've juggled a few since Lionel Hollins.
Jaeger.
I feel like we're missing a couple.
Probably like two more. Yeah. Probably.
Wasn't there a Bickerstaff in there somewhere?
Yeah. Bickerstaff? When in doubt, go Bickerstaff.
Father, son. Was,
I don't remember that, but.
Well, but I mean, now but, they have young but, you talent know, or
but this,
building.
This but. Does come into play in sports, right? Baseball is really dealing with it now, which is why this will be a really breath of fresh air from Rob Manfred's point of view. Tom Verducci's been writing about this. Baseball has lost some of what really made it an endearing sport, right? The romance, the people. Billy Martin, Earl Weaver, you know, we go down the list of who Tommy Lasorda,
sort of, yep.
Bobby Cox,
Lou Piniella,
the guy will pick up the base and throw it. You know, let's have some fun out there.
Joe Torre was different, but Joe Torre even had,
you had a persona,
this,
right?
Right,
and it's Lenny Dykstra, bless his heart, he's got issues off the field, but you know the Pete Roses, the guys that you know the character, they've lost a lot of that in this technological era. That they're in right now. They still have those guys, but it's been
de-emphasized. They don't have the, you're right.
De-emphasized.
They don't have the personalities like they used to.
Well, and the managers especially, that whole element has been taken because you don't even have
honestly,
a good argument
we could
anymore.
Do a trivia night on the show, or do a trivia hour and just ask MLB managers if we'd have to bring everybody in and hand in your computer and your phone. I'm not sure we could give stuff away. How many managers do you think people can name? Like if we just said,
man,
just name a team.
Yeah,
Twins,
it's getting harder.
Name the manager.
Yeah, it's getting harder.
Rays, name the manager. I mean, look anything up.
Can you name like
that's what I mean.
Now during the season, it's easier than in January.
I don't know. I can't tell you.
I'm not sure we could give anything away.
I know
away.
The teams. I know the players. I can't tell you the managers.
Orioles. Give me their skipper.
No idea.
I think that's most people, that's my point. I don't know if you were doing it on the up and up and you were not cheating.
Mike Matheny's
I don't know
in
how
Kansas
many managers
City, think.
You think. Like, how many managers could people name in baseball right now? Just this is to your point, Willie. Yeah. Like, we used to know all the managers. I mean, obviously, Francona and Cleveland. There's going to be guys that people are going to name. But
is it Schilt? Is that how you say his name in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Sure.
Just going with it?
Mike
sure.
Schilt. Yeah. Well, no, it is, but that is more of the mold that they're going with. A guy that's been in the system,
Donnie
that,
baseball.
That will take
who's the Cubs skipper?
Who did they have?
Exactly,
David Ross, former Brave. David
right,
Ross.
There you go. All right,
ding, ding, you got
good
one.
Job.
Yeah,
I think you're right. You're like Joe. Oh crap! Joe Madden's gone.
He's with the Angels.
Angels, right? Where Joe Madden?
Yeah, I'm sitting here struggling myself with
Kapler's with San Francisco, which I still don't understand why they hired him.
Yeah. That was kind of a weird hire. Who's Seattle's skipper?
Sure.
Mr. Sure.
Gina.
Coach Sure.
I have no idea.
You don't call him coach. Mike Hargrove taught me that a long time ago at the beginning when I was in this business. He said, son, you can call me Grover
or Skip.
Or Skip. Yep. Or Skipper. But don't call me coach. I said, yes, sir. He was very nice about it. But I learned very early, baseball – Major leagues and the bigs, they're not coaches. Skippers. All right, we'll come back. Close out the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Breaking news. Willie told us during the break he cheated. The Orioles skipper is Brandon Hyde.
You could have given me all day. I would not have gotten that one.
Could you tell me the manager of the Cincinnati Reds?
Dusty Baker? No, we learned he's going to the Astros.
Well, he was there last year, and he actually played in the big leagues for a long time.
Not Lou Piniella.
No, it is not Lou Piniella.
Chris Sabo.
It is not Chris Sabo.
He was not quite as good as Chris Sabo, but he had some good years.
Barry Larkin.
He played in the World Series, not for the Reds.
It is not Barry Larkin, even though I think there are many Reds fans that wish it was.
His dad was more famous as a player. They both the third baseman. His dad's name was Buddy.
I was going to say Ken Griffey, but he's not. His dad's not more famous.
His dad's name was Buddy, third baseman.
Buddy Bell.
Yes. So his son is the manager.
David Bell.
David Bell.
Oh.
Could you tell me the manager for the Colorado Rockies? This is a name you should know.
Yeah.
He's been there for a while.
He's been out there a while.
He pitched for the Tribe once upon a time, among other teams. Left-hander.
John Farrell?
Left-hander.
Bud Black.
Yes.
Could you tell me the manager for the Milwaukee Brewers?
All right, let's stop. Where people are going to well, please don't leave us.
You're going to
please don't leave us. Stay with us. We're going to change.
Why are they doing this?
This is torture. Please stop it. We will. We promise.
It's Craig Council.
We will stop immediately. Super Bowl 54, Miami. Chiefs 49ers, what do you think?
I just got a call from Miami. It says potential spam, but I don't know why somebody from Miami's calling me.
What does that mean, potential spam?
I don't know.
Potential spam? Is that what it says?
Just
want to
let you know, this is probably a nothing call. But
if my phone tells me it's potential spam, I'm probably not going to answer.
Yeah. No, that's unknown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it actually says potential.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
It's a new thing my phone started doing.
Really?
I don't know if it's
Did you download an app or something?
No, I think it's a Verizon thing.
Mine does it too, but mine says spam risk.
Yeah. It's a new thing. What an age we live in.
Hmm. It needs to be a little bit more maybe descriptive. Like that saying, hey, you know, I'm not sure about this one. Probably shouldn't answer. Think it could be spam. Not positive.
Here's the tricky thing, though. Like, I've had, like, spam numbers call me, answer it, find out it's spam, answer the spam risk call out of curiosity, and it's someone I was trying to contact.
Hmm.
So I don't know where it comes up with that
spam
risk
thing. Well, then
leave
a message. These people need to leave a message. We have voicemail.
Well, that's
for
just
reason.
It. That's usually my spam alert. I just do my own spam. If it's like a 888 number, okay. If you want something, leave a message, and then I'll call you back.
Do you have a?
Well, sometimes it's like that pause. You answer, and there's like 1,001, 1,002. Yes, you qualify for.
Do you?
Like, thank you.
On your voicemail. I don't call you.
Do you really say thank you?
No, you just go click.
Do you have the just automated voicemail greeting, or do you have a personalized one? Like, hey guys, it's Willie.
That is something. That's something that'll curb your enthusiasm potentially. Is how often do you refresh that? I do have a personal one, but it's probably been there for.
I have no idea what mine says. No clue.
You don't hear your own. Right?
I never hear yours.
There are some people.
I don't even know.
There are some people that I know that have their original one.
Do I have a message?
No, I don't think it's like, hey, it's Coach Darren. Leave a message.
Coach energy. Bring your energy, your effort, and your attitude.
It's Coach Darren from the Smyrna Braves.
No, so not anymore.
I know, but that's what happens. You don't update it because you put it when you get your
phone.
Oh, you're
saying it could be outdated.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. We all know somebody that every time I hear their voicemail,
it's the same, right? Because it's the same one as when they first got the phone
started.
Yeah,
right. Since they got the particular model of phone,
right.
Which they have,
which was
that's what I'm saying.
Back then, what was BlackBerry?
But ask yourself.
No, but he.
When
got
is the last time
flip?
you updated your voicemail?
It's been a while for me. I don't know what mine says
because you don't call your own.
Let's find out.
Right.
Let's
all trade phones and call each other's, and we'll try to figure out when that greeting was put in.
Yeah.
Might be time to refresh.
Do you know if you have a message?
I do. I have
you
a
do.
Message, yeah.
Do you know what it says?
Yeah, I know. It's a generic
I think it's
thing.
One you've had. Hey, this is Willie.
Right.
Hi, you've reached Chase McCabe. I'm sorry I can't get to the phone right now. If you just want to leave your number and a short message, or you can send me a text, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks. Have a great day.
That's very detailed.
There you go.
Very, very detailed.
And that is evergreen.
It
right?
is.
It will not be outdated.
That's very
Although,
detailed.
It is kind of a misnomer when you say you can't get to the phone.
But generic.
Like, you control whether you can get to your phone. It's a mobile phone.
It's a good
right?
point.
But I probably said the same thing in mine.
Yeah. I remember.
By the way, isn't that kind of redundant? You could, because like they've got your voicemail, so clearly they know you couldn't get to your phone.
It's true.
Right?
No, but for all they know, you're getting ghosted. So he could get to the phone, in theory. He just is electing not to get to the phone.
But either way, it's the same thing, right? You're electing not to
I can't take your call right,
right
now.
You're electing not to answer.
I'm choosing not to take your call right
hey,
now.
Whether you sorry could or I you missed could. You.
Yeah, there you
sorry,
go.
Sorry, I missed
yeah,
you.
Sorry, yeah, sorry, I missed you.
Okay, that could work.
That's
now,
good.
When I was younger, it was my voicemail was, hey, what's going on? Yep, sorry, can't get to the phone right now, but leave a message.
Yeah, a lot of people have done that.
Yeah.
In the movie Long Shot?
Yeah.
Beep. Remember, she answers the phone, and then
yeah,
he's like, hello? And Charlize Theron's like, oh, I don't want to talk to him. Beep.
I do remember that.
And then he left a message.
Good times.
All right. We will come back. We'll have David Ploy at 11:15. We'll make some new voicemail messages during the break, and we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters at Bridgestone Arena. On the other side, whoo, there's a tease for you here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.